smile and say amen. Amen. Once again, the great God of heaven has shown us his love and mercy by allowing us to be able to still be found on this time side of life, assembled here on this day to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful for all of you that are here, and it is our prayer that as you continue to be reminded of the journey in which you are, it's a journey into eternity. It's very important for folk to understand, all of us, you're on a journey into eternity. And I just think one of the things that we need to consider seriously is where you want that to be. Amen. It's important to understand everybody's going to get eternity. And we have the opportunity, as God blesses us day after day, to prepare ourselves to be with him. Because we all are going to be somewhere. But in that, we know that heaven is a place that's prepared for those who prepare for it. If you make no preparations, then you really, and I don't even want to say you can't expect to. I just need to let you know up front, you will not. If you make no preparations to make heaven your home, nobody's going to make it to heaven by accident. Amen. It's going to be because of the efforts that you have put forth in doing what the Lord has said for everyone who wants to be with him to do. And the sad part is so many folk are not doing that. So many folk have been relegated to just making themselves feel good just by being in church or being in worship. And that does nothing for the Lord's work, which means it'll do nothing for you in the end, when we are told that we have to all stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for the things that we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm a little disturbed this morning, but I was trying to get my topic focus. I changed my sermon this morning, quite frankly. I was going to talk to you about, I wanted to show you once again, the gospel of Jesus Christ while he was on earth, and to show you that while Jesus was on earth, in the book of Matthew, we could just stay right there in that book and find everything that a man needs to do to be saved. But I'll have to push that off again for some other time, because this morning I want to talk to us about, I want to say resetting and restoring. Resetting ourselves, getting ourselves reset so that we can be restored. I'm sure that announcements have been made. We have those that come in after the announcements are made. I will make it again. We lost Brother Sam Stevenson on Friday. His funeral services is going to be this coming Friday at 11 o'clock at Palm Mortuary on Main Street. The viewing of the body will be Thursday, I'm told, from 3 to 7 at Palm Street Mortuary. And it is our prayer that those of you who truly did love him and benefit, I know he was a benefit for you if you was in under his teaching, you'll have the opportunity. It's on a Friday, but you know, we do what we want to do whenever we want to do it. So we're just asking and encouraging you all to do what you can to show your support and comfort for the Stevenson family. This has been a terrible week for me, and I'm sure for some of you as well. After hearing the bad news of losing Brother Sam, as well as having just yesterday funeralized the father of Brother Ed Clemens, and last week seeing Christians, fellow Christians, and sister congregations suffering in issues of physical health, spiritual slowfulness, and decline. That disturbs me, and it ought to disturb every one of you. I wonder if we really do understand what it means when, even though Scripture teaches it, it doesn't always manifest itself in our actions or behavior. The phrase, we are all on the same team. I don't know about you, but sometimes, and I have been on teams where you had folk who was just that, on the team. I'm serious. They made no effort to even get to know their teammates. They wouldn't show up when they needed to show up to learn the plays so that when we go to battle against another team, we all can be on the same page. But this is not hard for Christian folk to be able to understand if they want to. We can turn a blind eye to anything anytime we want. And I submit to you this morning, a lot of folk are doing that in the Lord's church today. And the sad part is, we know that the Lord has won, and when all is said and done, he would still have won. Whether you make it or not, God will still win. Our topic for the month on missed opportunities. Think about all of the missed opportunities we have for making sure, or as Peter said, making our calling and election sure. To take salvation for granted. Folk, you're talking about eternity. And I know that's hard for us to fathom. As I mentioned this morning in the class, some of us can't get past 20 years. People can't. Young folk is have a, and when I say young folk, I'm talking about everybody that was once young. When you're in your 20s, most folk don't want to hear about retirement. You full of vigor and energy, and you got all of these goals, and you just have your mind set for living life and enjoying life now. But you know what tends to happen to a lot of folk? Before you know it, 20 years has gone by. They've not prepared. They've not even really thought about it. And by the time they do decide to give it some consideration, you don't have enough time to have a good plan retirement. Oh, yeah, you can start doing something. But what is it going to be like when the time actually comes to where now all you have is what you have laid up for yourself to live off of? Think about that. When Jesus says that we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, we got so many bankrupt folk, it's unreal. And the reason I can say that I know we have so many bankrupt folk is because the average person have no idea what the treasure is that they're supposed to be laying up. So if you don't know what it is, how can you lay up treasures in heaven? So all of the things that we are taught every time we are in a teaching environment, especially when it comes to the Lord, look at how many folk are missing the opportunity to even learn. And they won't take the opportunity to be where they need to be to learn, but yet they want to argue and want to try to defend why they don't agree with certain things or they don't believe certain things is. Church, we don't have time for that. I know we all from time to time kind of feel like, well, everything is all right in my life, and if I just keep doing what I'm going, I'll be all right. Yes, you might while here. But do you not know? God wants you to prepare for there. Amen. Amen. Yes, God loves you. That's why he gave his son. Yes, God wants to save you. That's why he gave us instructions to follow. And yes, God will destroy you if you refuse to believe in him and obey him. We're in a world to where God is becoming almost a four-letter word. People don't want to hear about God, and they sure don't want to serve him. But then when something happens, now all of a sudden they want to know where God is. Well, the questions ought to be, where were you when God has given you all of these opportunities to where you are not one that's living your life in fear of death? You live your life looking forward to death. Why? Because you know after that, you'll have no more worries. All of this stuff that we get caught up in and tied up in now. When he called you out of this world, that has nothing to do with you now. But if he called you out and you're not in a right relationship with him, again, I don't know if you believe your Bible, but I believe mine. And when Jesus gives us a picture of what it's going to look like for those who are saved, those who are right with him, and those who are not, in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, that kind of tells me that I'm going to remember every opportunity that God gave me to get right, and I missed it. But again, who wants to hear about God? I mean, we can't see him. Give us something that we can see and we can talk to and feel and touch. And maybe we might give it some attention. But there's a saying, out of sight, out of mind. And for so many folk, Jesus is out of sight and out of mind. This is the Lord's day. What do you think the Lord wants from you today? Can you even think about him today? When you get up in the morning on Sunday mornings, what's your attitude? Oh, I got to get dressed and go down here to this building. Well, if you have a hard time bringing yourself to want to come and worship God, I just have to ask, what are you doing? What is it, or who is it, that is more important to you than God? And if there's somebody or something, you need to know you got some changes you need to make in your life before your life is gone. If not, you will spend eternity separated from God and in torment. Yeah, I know. It's people don't want to hear that. I thank God that he helped me to understand and realize, and I can see it in the book for myself, that I'm not supposed to try to tell you what you want to hear. Amen. If I don't tell you what you need to hear, God will send me to hell just as quick as he will you. And so if heaven and hell, just like God and the Lord, is not real to you, how are you going to do those things you need to do? You know what's real to you? When you got a bill that's due. Folk worry more about paying a bill than they worry about going to hell. That tells me I know somebody's missing. on what's important. Folk worry about pleasing other people than they do about pleasing God. That lets me know where you are in your understanding of life, of God. Not realizing that at any moment, he can take all of that away from you. And then what? Well, then we become angry, bitter, blaming God. When really, whose fault is it? It's a path that those who choose to disobey God has chosen for themselves. And even though God loves you, he's not going to make you obey him. But I always say this, if you don't obey him, I think he'll make you wish you had. And that's an after the fact kind of thing that is not going to do anybody any good at that time when you got to stand before God. And so, church, I'm just wondering, maybe it's time for a revival. We've not had a gospel meeting in a while, right? Y'all know why, right? Okay, just in case y'all don't know why, let me remind you why. Because we were having gospel meetings and the only folk that was coming were you. When we are doing a gospel meeting, there should be folk in the gospel meeting who have not heard the gospel. You know the gospel. You know what you're supposed to be doing. And so a gospel meeting is to try to get folk in who haven't heard the gospel so that they too can be saved. So yeah, I mean, it become redundant and ridiculous just to bring somebody in to preach to you. And you won't bring someone in to hear the gospel preached. So, a revival, that's the difference. What's a revival? A revival is mainly for us. A revival is used to get us motivated, get us back on target. Why? Because we become so complacent, so comfortable, to where we don't feel that we need to do anything. And that's right where Satan wants you. Not realizing none of us know when our time is going to be up. And your Bible tells you that if you are not right with God when he calls you out, you can't be with him in eternity. But, you know, again, it's one of those things where if it don't matter to you, then it don't matter. Honestly, it don't matter. It ain't gonna matter if it don't matter to you. Why did Jesus die? Why did he do what he did on the cross? So you can do what you want to do? So you can live any way you want to live? You can worship him, so to speak, any way you want? That's not why he died. He died so that he can give you and I a way to be saved. And yet, we don't seem to have enough interest to verify the things that we are doing or in line with what God has said. Well, yes, maybe it's time for a revival. We cannot be effective or be relevant resting on what has been done in the past. We must be vigilant, and we must keep working until the Lord either comes back or call you out of this world home. You don't want to appear before Christ as an unfaithful and unfruitful servant. We have gained only 2 souls 7 months into this year. Church, that's never been us. Amen. See, I know certain things don't bother certain people. But for those that it do bother, there are things that I have to pay attention to that you too ought to be paying attention to. 2 people in 7 months? We used to have at least have baptized 10, 15 by now. I know to some degree it's a somewhat, over the past 10 years, a little bit of a different group of folk. I know this. But it doesn't matter. If you've been in the church any length of time, you know what God has said your mission is: to seek souls and to keep souls saved. If you haven't saved one soul, you really think the Lord is going to welcome you into heaven when that's what his son died for, is so men and women can be saved? I just don't want us to be totally, well, ignorant, as the scripture says, over how this is going to play out when it's all said and done. Because I read the same Bible you read. Well, mostly. I haven't read not one verse in the Queen James yet. So I really can't say I read the same Bible as you read, because I don't know what you're reading. You know, we tend to treat Bibles the way we do everything else. Amen. We get the ones that we're most comfortable with, not even trying to verify whether what's in it is right or not. See how smooth Satan is? With them coming out with a Queen James or a transgender or a gender neutral, I think it's called, Bible. People like reading that because what they have done is they have taken God out and they just use him and he. And people like that because it puts you back into a state of it's being general, so you don't have to feel like you are answering to anybody specific. Members of the Lord's church should be long past that. The Bible told you how deceitful and how wicked Satan is and how he wants all that he can get. But we don't have time for that kind of teaching, do we? No, we don't. We don't. But we'll watch everything that Satan puts out on TV. Listen to everything that Satan stands for on the radio. Go to all of the places that Satan likes to hang out at, and then say we're going to be with the Lord when this is over. Tell me that's not being fooled. You know, every Christian in here, especially if you're a member of the North Las Vegas Church of Christ, you ought to be concerned about what's happening in the congregation, and more than anything, what is happening with your soul. I'm very grateful to those of you who have been calling and visiting one another and keeping up with one another. But the question is, what has happened to the rest of us? It's everybody's responsibility. But we tend to give it over to a few people to do, and some could care less whether it be done unless you need a visit. May God bless every one of you who stepped up to show your support and love in assisting with the repast for the Clemens family on yesterday. It still bothers me, and one thing I try to make sure of is that I not tell you that I don't hold back from telling you things that I see is a problem and I know can cause all of us to lose our soul. And I also know that a lot of folk don't want to hear it. But I try to make sure I let you know, because I think that's what God wants, so that when he says to you, should he, depart from me, for I never knew you, you can't blame me. You can't blame anybody else but yourself. I often wonder, What's going on in our minds when we lose a member of the Lord's church? It's a little bit different than what goes on when we lose a member of our immediate family. Amen. It looks like this, and I see it all the time. That's not 100% even in the immediate family realm. But usually in the immediate family, when you lose a family member, the whole family comes together at the funeral. We have so many folks sitting up in here this morning who fail to understand that in God's economy, the person sitting next to you, to your right, to your left, in front, and behind you, in God's economy, that's your family. Amen. And when we lose one of God's family members, it seems like we pick and choose whose funeral we're going to show up at. And when I'm up here preaching, it always bothers me because there's the family there, and I got to deal with the family and all of us who are left behind to try to get us to understand, what are you doing? Because when your time comes, yeah, and I've dealt with those folk too. You have folk who have that senile attitude. You ask them, well, what about when your time comes? Don't you want folk to come out? They'll say, well, I don't care. I'm not going to know nothing anyway. You're absolutely right. And with that attitude, I can see why they won't be there. And oh, by the way, there's a real good chance you're not going where you think you're going. Church, we take so much for granted. And I don't know if it's because we really don't understand or we do understand, but we just refuse to do. Neither one of those is good. So, we say, well, actually, we don't even say it. Jesus told us to love one another as I have loved you. Amen. And yet you got folk who, they don't even know half of their brothers and sisters in Christ. And are making no effort to try to know them. But yet they want to be known of God in heaven. God knows you, just like he knows Satan. When are we going to wake up? Sometimes I wonder, even though I said it's time for a revival, I have to wonder, will a revival even do? Because all a revival is going to be about is you hearing the gospel preached again, but preached to the standpoint that it is just trying to motivate Christians. Well, if God's word don't motivate you now, oh, I know. Maybe it'll be who the preacher might be. Maybe it'll be how he deliver. Maybe that's what will motivate you. If that's the case, you still got a problem. If God's word is not enough to get you to move and do what you need to be doing, if you do it just because, let's say, somebody is flamboyant, somebody is whatever it is you're looking for in the delivery to get you to do them, I guess it goes like this. People who have children, and all of us who have had children, we all know that certain things work for certain children. Isn't that right? There are some children you have to holler at to get them to do. There's others, you just tell them what you want done, they go do it. Which one are you? God's word. So you mean your reading God's word is not enough to motivate you to do what he says? Some of you. But then there's also some of you who, yeah, you do need to have it yelled at because you're that kind of person. You need to be yelled at to get moved. But that's not what God is about. God is not into trying to get us emotional. God is trying to get us to understand how important it is to do what he said so that we can be saved. You know, when Jesus asked the question, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose your soul? My goodness. If that don't get you, if that can't help you understand how important your soul is to God, nothing will. You'll gain the whole world and you'll still be looking for more. That's called greed. Maybe this is a good spot to drop this for your understanding. And I'm not saying anything other than what I'm about to say. So I don't need anybody trying to read anything into it or anything like that. I'm, like I said, I try to tell you stuff so that you can be aware. I know some folk care. Other folk could care less. But I've done my part in at least making sure you know. For the last 10 years, at least, I have been seeking and trying to find someone to come after me. For the last 10 years. Why? Because every day, I know I could be gone at any time. It is a fool's errand to think you're going to be around. Amen. I wouldn't want something to happen to me and I have to leave the church in turmoil. Though you shouldn't be in turmoil. Everything should go on the way it's going. But then the question is, will it? You've seen what happens when a person loses a job or loses a position or whatever. It's like piranhas. Everybody want it. Everybody think they can do your job better than you. But then when it comes available, now all of a sudden, they start backpedaling. I'm aware of all that. It's never been a concern of mine for my job. I've only been concerned about what's going to happen when I'm gone. Now, you may say, well, that's not your problem. Well, okay, that's the way you think, but that's not what God has shared with me to help me understand. I have a responsibility to set things in order, keep things in order until the Lord moves me. So, yeah, when I get to go to lectureships or go wherever, I'm looking for good, young, sound ministers that can come in and take the congregation, hopefully, Lord willing, for another 15 or 20 years. The Lord has blessed me to be your minister for 15 years this month. Doesn't seem like 15 years, but I wasn't counting. I had to stop and figure that up. But what guarantee do I have that I'm going to be here next year? What guarantee do you have that you're going to be here next year? So all we have is right now. All we have is today. And if we are not doing what God has given us to do today, today would be a missed opportunity that you're going to have to pay for. So will it be a reward for the opportunity that you missed? Or will it be a consequence? We are not here just to be here. We are not here without a mission. We are not here without direction. We are here with everything that we need to get to where God is trying to get us to. But I have to keep reminding you, it ain't going to happen just because you want to. It's going to happen because you obeyed the Son of God. You know, other than God's word, nothing but no one stays the same on this earth. Even the earth is not the same. It's falling apart. Some of y'all may have felt those aftershocks on the 4th of July, and then again the day following. You think the Lord is trying to tell us something? Look at the weather patterns around the world, and I thank God that God controls the weather, but look at it. Right now, we're right back in a Katrina situation in New Orleans. And so now what? I often wonder, what's our disaster? Seems like every state in the union got them. Earthquake, floods, fires, snow. We get a drop of rain, we complain. We need it so bad. But boy, let it start raining. It's time for us to reset our minds and our hearts to be restored back into a relationship with God to where we know that we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Only. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I wanted to, as I said, go somewhere else this morning, but it's bothersome. Sometimes I feel we are, well, I try to make sure that we are not in the kinds of situations that a lot of parents want to keep their children in. Over time, you come to learn that everybody that's going to be affected by something needs to be aware of it. That's how they're going to learn from it. But you know how parents figure they're going to protect their children from, ain't got no money to buy no food, so I can't tell my children that I don't have no money. I got to feed them. I know they're going to want to eat. So even though I don't have any money, I got to figure out some kind of way to get some money, get some food. And let's just say, whatever scenario, if you've been there, whether you go borrow it, amen. You ain't going to do that if you got too much pride. Whether you go steal it, you're likely to do that if you think you can do it without getting caught. Or whether you just sit down and explain to the child what happened, how y'all got there, but they don't have to worry because you're going to do what you need to do to make sure that they eat. That helps that child to be able to deal with adversity and not have to panic. That's what God is trying to do with us. He tells us about the bad stuff, don't he? Yeah, he tells us about the bad stuff. He tells us what kind of people are going to act what kind of way, when, why. He tells us all of that so that when it comes to our doorstep, we don't have to act like them. We don't have to worry because God has said he would take. That's why he said seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Folk are doing it backwards. They're trying to get everything they can first and then give God whatever time they got left, whatever energies they got left, and think God is supposed to be pleased with that. I guess the question is, when will it stop, or will it stop? Will a revival even do any good? If it's anything like the gospel meetings were, not only were a lot of our members not bringing folk to the gospel meeting, but a lot of them wasn't even coming. That's a gospel meeting. And we supposed to be teachers and preachers and livers of the gospel, and yet there's a gospel meeting, but we ain't got time to get there. Tell me something's not wrong with that. If the Bible says that we got to stand before God and give an account for everything that we do, how do you give an account for that? Probably the same way a lot of you would do for your Sundays. Well, I was busy, I had to work, I had this going on, okay. But are you sure God is going to accept that? That's the only thing I can ask you. Are you sure God is going to accept that? I'd like to tell you this morning, I don't think he will. I just don't think he will. Bible is too clear as to what's important to God and what ought to be important to you and I. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I know you, again, here we are, again. You've heard it over and over. But what does it do for you? Does it seem like it's just one of them TV stories? Just something that somebody had come up with and phrased? Peter writes to in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number, first of all, let me give you verse number 7. No, got to give you verse 6 so it makes sense. Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. See, I'm almost sure if I ask this morning, how many of you have humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God? Everybody in here will say they have. And the majority of the folk in here will be lying. And if you want to challenge me and say, well, how can you know what somebody feels? You can challenge me. I'll know. Because you'll know. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Again, blaring lights. There are folk who, yes, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him. And there are people who will say, I'll just turn it over to Jesus because it sounds good. And then when they get out of your presence, they're home, they're worrying, they're crying, they're fighting, they're arguing, they're doing everything over a care that they've been told, give it to the Lord and he will take care of you. See, we don't know what that means. That's what the problem is. When we don't know what something means, how can we do it? Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then, of course, verse number 8, it says, be sober. In other words, keep your right frame of mind. Stay focused, but stay focused on godly things. Stay focused on God. He already told you, if you seek me first, I'll take care of this other stuff. And oh, by the way, I don't want to sound like I sure don't want to deceive people. When he says, I'll take care of this other stuff, he's not saying, and you don't have to do nothing. That ain't what it's teaching. But God can open up doors for folk who obey him. God can cause other people to be in your life that can give you those things that you need. Why? Because you're concentrating on him. But when you ain't got time to think about him, why should he take time for you? I would like for somebody to answer that. Anybody got an answer? I want to say it again. If you won't take time for him, why should he take time for you? Anybody got an answer? Somebody want to say, well, because he's God. Okay. Yes, he's God. But my Bible tells me he's also a just God. Yeah, he's also a jealous God. He going to take care of you and you out there playing with Satan. You spend more time with Satan than you do him, and you want him to take care of you? That don't even make sense. Of course, most of us have lived that. Most of us have had children that you spend all your life taking care of, and they could care less about you. They spend more time at the neighbor's house and at somebody else's house than they do at your house. So you see, we've been there, we've done that, we've experienced it, and we tend to think that God thinks like us. No, he does not. No, he does not. And as loving and as awesome as God is, When he says, when the Bible tells us he is a jealous God, what does he have to be jealous of? He's God. Well, see, you missed the point. He created you, not Satan. It's just the way you feel about your child. You brought him into this world, not the neighbors. But you let the neighbors take care of him because they give you some free time. We got a whole generation that was raised up on TVs and Xboxes. Because everybody had to work. And nobody's got time for somebody else's kids. So they lock them in the house, put them on the computer, keep them busy till I get home. And you don't think that's going to have an impact on that child later on? And you? Because that's when the time comes for the love and the compassion and a stronger obedience. That's when your real child that you have raised in front of the TV and Xboxes will show up. They don't know nothing about no love. You ain't spend no time with me to teach me that. I was on Xbox. I mean, that's where they cut folk heads off. And don't feel a thing. Don't even have a concern about it. They'll do it on the video game. You don't think they can end up doing it in real life? Most of the stuff you and I do, we do because we've seen it somewhere. Good or bad, we've seen it, which is why we do it. You choose to do what you want to do. So, if Peter is trying to help us understand, he says, be sober, be vigilant. Y'all know what that means, right? Be vigilant, be on guard, always be looking out. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, he says, is walking around as a roaring lion, as a roaring lion. So how many of you take that serious? How many, who in here this morning would like to walk up on a lion? I will if he ain't got no teeth. If they done defanged him, I might. I say I will. I might still have a problem because those rascals are pretty heavy. He may be wise enough to know he can't bite, but all he got to do is lay down on me and I'm stuck. So no, I don't even want to play with the lion. So he tells us that our adversary is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, which tells me he know exactly who to go after. And truth be told, he done been on a lot of y'all from time to time. Maybe you had your defenses on. Maybe you had on the armor and you was able to survive. Maybe you was fast enough to outrun him. I don't know. But you're not devoured yet. Because you still have life. You still have an opportunity to come to yourself and start doing what God has said for you to do. Seeking whom he may devour, whom resisted steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Everybody has to deal with that roaring lion. And if you're not fighting the lion, I don't know, Brother Barkham, do you think you can pet him? Do you think if you pet him, maybe he won't eat you? He probably won't eat you while you're petting him. That pet probably feels pretty good. You're just petting him and stroking him and rubbing him. And why are you playing with him? That means you ain't doing what the Lord told you to do. And then finally, you get tired. We get tired. You can't afford to get tired petting a lion. Because when you get tired and you stop stroking him, He done got relaxed too. It's time to eat. And so you stop playing with him. And now you want to try to walk away from him or run away from him. You really think you're going to make it? He's telling you right now the dangers that we are up against. And yet it don't seem to bother some folk. I wonder why. Maybe it's because of what Paul said. If our gospel be hid, it is hid from them who have had their eyes blinded by the prince of this world, by the gods of this world. It finishes off by letting us know, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. That's who called us, church. That's who you're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be here because of Jesus. Not because of anybody else or anything else, but because of Jesus. God called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. After that you have suffered a while. I know you're tired of hearing that. Nobody wants to suffer. I understand that from a human perspective. I don't want to suffer. But I come to learn I got to get past what I want and don't want and understand that if God told me it's going to happen, I need to prepare myself so that when it happens, I can handle it. Why is it that most suffering causes us to leave the very one who says he'll be with us through our suffering? Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God will do all of that for us if we would just obey him. So let me close with this. Be careful. Understand Satan is not just sitting on the sideline when you're dealing with other people or when you're dealing with yourself. Satan can make you destroy yourself. When I say make you, he can influence you to destroy yourself. Nobody else got to be around. If he get in your mind, he can cause you to try to take your own life. And he can definitely cause other folk to put you in a position that you really never want to be in. But because you chose them over God, then so be it. You remember Adam and Eve? This is how people do you. And it's not new because it happened when there was only two people. When there was only two people, God had given instructions on what he wanted done. And when God gives us instructions on what he wants done and we don't do what God says, then when things don't work out right, we tend to blame somebody else. Amen. God had already told Adam what to do and what not to do. Adam chose to listen to Eve over God. The outcome wasn't good, was it? Because he listened to Eve over God, the Bible says that God put him out of the garden. But before he put him out, the Bible says God came walking into the garden and he asked Adam, where are you? And Adam says, here I am, Lord. I heard you coming, so I hid. The Bible talks about how when the Lord comes back, there are going to be people trying to hide in rocks and mountains and caves and talking about fall on us to hide us from. That's the fear that God don't want his children to have. But not only did Adam say, I heard you coming and I hid myself. Show you how wonderful and merciful God is. God says, so what have you done, son? Have you eaten of the tree which I told you not to eat of? Here it comes. Adam says, well, it was that woman you gave me. She gave it to me and I ate. Okay. Now, I just ask you, please understand this. I just ask you right there in that little small blurb right there. What did God do? Did he say, well, okay, Adam, next time you make sure you do what I tell you to do, or I'm going to put you out. He didn't do that, did he? And oh, by the way, they never did get back in the garden, did they? There's some things that you do in your life that you can never recover from. But you can still be saved. Adam and Eve didn't get back in the garden, but they still had an opportunity to live right before God until he called them out, didn't he? You and I have that same opportunity. God gives us that opportunity every day he gives you. Don't miss out on the opportunities. Don't allow yourself to be lost when salvation is right there at your fingertip. Yes, we need a revival. And Lord willing, hopefully, sometime soon, we'll consider one. But before we do that, you need to ask yourself a serious question. Are you really serious about your soul's salvation? Do you even believe that there's a God? Do you even believe that there's a heaven and a hell? And if you believe that there's a God, you believe that there's a heaven or hell, you got to believe that everybody ain't going to be in either one of them. Everybody's not going to be in hell because God has always had a remnant of people who will obey him. And everybody's not going to be in heaven because Jesus himself said many are going to go in at the broad way. Why? Because they don't want this God stuff. They don't want this Jesus stuff. If you care for your children, if you care for your spouse, if you care for your parents, you ought to be trying to help them understand God, Christianity, and the difference between right and wrong as God has laid it out for us. Use your Bible to teach people. Quit being so mouthy. Let them read the book for themselves, so you can make sure that it is not because of you that they've not obeyed the gospel. But you see, you can't do that if you don't know your book, can you? I know some folk want to believe that God loves everybody, and he does. Amen. But you have to know that God has said he's not going to save everybody. He's only going to save those who have been obedient to his son who hung, bled, and died on the cross so that man can have a right to be saved. That's why Jesus says, no man come to the Father but by me. You got to come by Jesus, which means you can't have that attitude of not wanting none of this Jesus stuff. If you don't want Jesus stuff, you can't have Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you can't have God. Amen. And if you don't have God, you don't have nothing. So if you're here this morning, I know I've been a little different this morning because I feel quite different this morning. The concerns for the church, for folk who want to be saved, is too great to not make sure that we're doing all that we can to know what is it that God wants us to do and then put forth every effort to try to do it. That's when God will work with you. But if you're just going to sit back and do nothing and just think God is just going to welcome you in, you've bought into the devil's lie. A lot of folk have done that, but that will be their judgment when the Lord comes back. If you're not in Christ, the Bible lets us know the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive will be caught up with them. We who are in Christ and alive will be caught up with them. So being in Christ is critical. How do you get in Christ? Well, Bible says you come by hearing God's word, by believing it, and that believing is going to cause you to change how you live. That's repentance. You confess that Jesus Christ is God's son. You be baptized for the remission of your sin. And that makes you a Christian, nothing else. God knows you by name. He don't have to call you by the name that your mama gave you. He's got a name for you. He knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head, even if you shaved it off. That's who you're serving. If you are here and you're not in Christ, why not? Why jeopardize your soul any longer when you don't have to? If you are in Christ and you haven't been living like you should, why continue to live like that, putting your soul in jeopardy? We're just trying to encourage you this morning to pay attention to what you're doing. Let's think about getting revived and restored to getting back to seeking and saving lost souls. Only having baptized two people in 7 months is not the North Las Vegas Church of Christ way of doing things. It's only because the folk in North Las Vegas Church of Christ now don't have the desire or the goal or the willingness to get out and do what God has said. And I just hope we can get restored and revived before it's eternally too late. So if you're here this morning, you find yourself in either condition, you need to come forth, you can do it right now while we stand and sing the Savior's invitation song.